Welcome to the Wall Street News Network podcast. Today I'm pleased to be talking to Evan Nierman, a crisis PR expert who is CEO of the firm Red Banyan, a crisis communications company, and he's also author of the book Crisis Averted, PR Strategies to Protect Your Reputation and the Bottom Line. Welcome, Evan.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, well, why don't we start by you telling us briefly about what crisis PR is.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of people have some misconceptions about what it means. They either assume that it's damage control for corporate clients who have done bad things, or they tend to think of the show Scandal on ABC, where there's a group of crisis managers who are running around and getting people out of tough situations. Really, the truth of the matter is, crisis management, crisis communications is helping organizations or individuals facing complex circumstances and guiding them to their strategic objective through using communications. And in some cases, that can mean correcting misinformation or pushing back against false narratives, and others, it's simply getting the facts out. But it's a fast-paced, exciting, interesting field, and no 2 days are ever the same.
Okay. Well, I want to ask about the victims when a crisis takes place. As I was reading your book, it seemed to me that there are three types of victims. The first ones are the ones who are totally innocent, and someone is just making false claims about them. The second type are the ones who have their reputation affected by association, or maybe an employee did something wrong which affects the victim and his or her business. And finally, you have the victim who's totally guilty. So first, did I describe the types correctly? And second of all, when dealing with a crisis, is it the same for all three types, or is it completely different?
Well, I like how you sort of looked at an opportunity to break them into different groups, but I actually don't think that those three buckets are entirely how I would break them down, because I think one of the things that crisis PR teaches you is that it's very hard to put things into categories or boxes where they'll fit perfectly. And so I think even in the case of someone who, if you were saying like an organization that's totally guilty, I think there are gradations of malfeasance, gradations of guilt, and there's a lot of operating not in the black and white, but in more shades of gray. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that I would go along with saying that there's really three types.
Okay.
I think how you choose to respond, depending upon where you are in the situation, whether it's pure misinformation against an entity or an individual, or they've actually made a mistake. In every instance, what you do has to be based upon the facts and all these other aspects, timing, the news cycle, the potential outcome of the negative attention. No two situations are ever the same, and so that's why it's really so critical that when an organization or a person is under fire, it's really helpful to have an outside perspective and to have someone who can guide you, someone who's actually taken organizations through a variety of different situations and knows how to utilize some of the same techniques and tactics that have worked in the past to make sure that they help guide them through a tumultuous time.
I see. Okay. Now, I think most business owners and corporate executives, they deal with business crises on a regular basis, and they may think, well, you know, I can deal with our inventory shipment coming in late, I can deal with losing a client, so I can easily deal with a PR issue. What would you say to those people?
Maybe they can, maybe they can't. And in some cases, they may be right. In other cases, they're definitely going to be wrong. And I think just like any aspect of our lives, you have an opportunity to either handle something yourself or to enlist the expertise of someone who lives in that world and does that all the time. So, for instance, if I wanted to repair the dishwasher in my home, I could go and I could watch videos on YouTube and I could get in my car and I could go to Home Depot and get the parts and I could muddle through and I would probably find a way to be successful at it. But if I wanted to guarantee a much stronger outcome, I would enlist somebody who actually does that kind of work, and I would spend the money to tap into their expertise to make sure the job gets done well and it gets done quickly and professionally and that there's a guarantee. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a misperception, not just about crisis PR, but just about communications and PR in general. Everyone assumes they can do the work, because what is communications largely? It's talking, listening, writing. Okay? Uh-huh. Most people can do all of those things, but they can't necessarily do them in a professional context or do them at the same level as a professional communicator. And I think the metaphor that I use in the book is I talk about there's a difference between knowing how to drive and being a race car driver. They're two entirely separate things. And when it comes to having a business issue or reputation issue, enlisting a crisis communications expert means that you're entrusting your safety and your viability of your business and your reputation to someone who has the skills and experience that can really, really help you.
Uh-huh. Okay, great answer. Have you ever turned down a client, or would you ever turn down a client if, say, the crime was heinous and you knew they were guilty? Or maybe another example might be if a politician asked for your help, but you don't believe in their politics.
So we turn down clients on a regular basis if we don't agree with the organization, or if we think that they're actually not committed to doing the right thing. They're just upset because they got caught doing the wrong thing. In those instances, we actually make the determination that we're not going to take them on as clients. We're not interested in cashing their checks. And for us, it's just not a client with whom we want to be associated. Now, in terms of politics, it's a little bit more complicated. We're living in a very, very hyper-partisan time. And one of the things that's been a real asset, I think, to Red Banyan is that we are a nonpartisan, or rather a bipartisan organization. We don't work exclusively with organizations or political people on the left or the right. We tend to work across the board. And our people are all, when they interview for positions at Red Banyan, and this isn't just in the D.C. office or the New York office or the L.A. office or the Florida office, it's all over, they check their personal politics at the door. There's no place for that in the work that we do. Our work is apolitical, and we're happy to work with deserving clients across the political spectrum.
I see. By the way, how did you come up with your company name, Red Banyan?
There were four main reasons why I chose Red Banyan. One is when I moved to Florida 12 years ago from Washington, I was just very taken with the banyan tree. I thought it was just a striking, amazing plant. And so I thought that would make a really cool logo. So that was one. Two, mm-hmm. I wanted to have a firm that wasn't named after me, because mm-hmm. the organization, the why do we exist? We exist because we want to empower our clients to press the truth and to defend their reputations, et cetera. And it was very important to me that we have a name for the business that wasn't my last name, which is pretty standard fare when it comes to communications or PR. Third, I wanted a name where the logo would be reminiscent of the name. Mm-hmm. So our name is Red Banyan, and obviously our logo is a red banyan tree. Uh-huh. So it's that association between the visual and the words. And then the last reason that I chose Red Banyan, actually two more, so I guess there are five reasons. One was I thought it was also a very effective metaphor for communication, because in a banyan tree, you've got lots of parts all coming together to form a strong base. And I thought that that was a great, apt description of communications done right. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, there's no such thing as a Red Banyan. We created it. So the calculation was, if we build a brand around something that doesn't presently exist in the world, then we can ensure that when people come looking for us and they go onto Google and search, inevitably they will find us and we will dominate the search results on that term, which is exactly what happens. You go online right now and you type in Red Banyan on the first page of Google, you're going to get roughly 10 organic search results, and 9 or 10 of those are going to be us.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah. Are there any current events you want to real briefly talk about where a crisis PR strategy could help out, like maybe the Elizabeth Holmes situation or anything like that?
Well, I think the Elizabeth Holmes trial is a fascinating event in and of itself. She's clearly a fascinating personality. You're talking about a company with somewhere in the neighborhood of a $9 billion valuation that it turns out was nothing but smoke and mirrors and a lot of really misleading but effectively executed PR. And I think one of the things that I'll be watching closely is ultimately how does Elizabeth Holmes continue to talk about herself. And I think it's fascinating that she's indicated that she intends to basically posit that she wasn't responsible for what took place with the falling apart of Theranos because she was under the thumb of an abusive boyfriend and he was a dominant figure, and that she lacked the capability or the capacity to make good decisions. And she didn't even know what was going on because she was so stressed out from being abused. That is such a stark contrast from the picture of herself that she painted for so many years as this renegade, brassy, bold, strong, smart, and strategic woman who dropped out of Stanford, who found these high-level people to join her advisory board and to invest. So I think it's a really remarkable, really eye-catching trial, and I'm certainly going to be following the ins and outs very closely.
Okay. Brings us to our last question. I really liked the chapter you had on dealing with reporters. Can you explain why it is usually best to have a professional crisis PR firm deal with reporters instead of trying to do it on your own?
It's very simple. People like myself or my colleagues at Red Banyan or other crisis communications firms, we talk to reporters on the phone literally every day, part and parcel of what we do. And so we're comfortable doing so, and we know the best way to get the outcome that we're looking for. And you're really, if you choose to handle all of your media relations, especially in a time of crisis by yourself, you're rolling the dice. You're taking a big risk and you're taking a chance. And in this day and age, you really cannot afford to take that risk, because it used to be you had one negative story, you'd survive the news cycle, you'd hope people didn't read it in the paper, and then you'd move on. Well, now in the age of the internet, information lives in infamy, it lives forever. And if you get a negative outcome and you have a conversation with a reporter that goes sideways and ends up producing a really negative piece of coverage, people are going to be reading that piece of information and then evaluating you and your business or your organization for literally years to come. So the stakes are simply so high that not investing and getting some professional assistance, it's a tremendous risk. And I think most people, when they understand that and they start to really make the calculations, it's investing in their future and their reputation is priceless and well worth whatever they need to spend.
Great. Well, great information. Well, thanks very much for your time, Evan. Just as a reminder, the name of the book again is Crisis Averted by Evan Nierman. And more information can also be found at redbanyan.com.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure talking with you.